Pray with me, please. Father, this is not about me. This is not about these people, Lord. It's about You. It's about You who are truth. You are the way and You are the life. Lord, we ask for You to be here this morning and take control. I have nothing to say to these people, Lord, but You do. Father, touch our hearts, open our eyes, cause us to be changed today, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give You praise and honor and glory. And we ask it for Your kingdom's sake, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We've been hearing, we heard a message a week or two ago that dealt strong with feelings and sensualism. And I had something happen, I don't remember if it was the end of the previous week or the end of or the beginning of last week, I don't remember. But I had a man come to me that's an acquaintance of mine at work. He's a good man. He's got some struggles. And he's a Christian. I think he's even one of the leaders in his church. And yet, when he came to me, he asked for prayer. And as he asked for prayer, my heart became wounded. And I felt God's heart wounded by what he said. I'm going to share that with you. What he said was, Bill, he said, will you pray for me? Well, that's a given. But what he said after that was, I was stunned and I was hurt and I was wounded. I caught for the first time in a way that I've never caught before, words of desperation when we claim to know God. My family has a history of whatever it is, heart disease or whatever it is. I'm going in for a test. They're probably going to... Listen to the words, folks. I'm probably going to get a stent put in. So-and-so died at this age, and I'm at that age now, and I'm next in line. That's hopelessness. That's hopelessness. That's operating on what you know by your experience or by the, you know, by your life and things that have gone on in lives that, whether they knew God or not, I don't know. Only He knows. That's His business. But the point is that we get caught up in things like that and we don't even realize sometimes that what happens to us tomorrow. I mean, we hear this message, not often, enough maybe, but we hear it once in a while and we may think about it from time to time. That our words and our thoughts and our actions will dictate what's going to happen tomorrow. It dictates our destiny. The only way our destiny is sure is in Him, right? Is that right? Y'all agree with that? That's the only sure destiny we have. Actually, we do have another sure destiny, but it's a destiny that's... We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. In Him, because of Him in us, His Word, He is the living Word. Because of the living Word in us, we have, the Scripture says, according to Jeremiah 29:11, a hope and a future. Amen? This man is hopeless. He's in desperation. He claims to know God. He claims to be a Christian. I'm not judging whether he is or not. I just know he's a good man in my eyes. And he's crying out of fear, out of desperation, because he thinks he sees what's coming. Or he thinks he's anticipating what is a possibility. But he's not even looked at what the other possibilities are. This is a stigma or a disease that is going on in our world today that's been brewing over the last, specifically, but more than that, 42 or 43 years. And it's permeated the church. It's permeated those who call themselves Christ ones, Christians. There's not a person in here who's not guilty of this at one time or another, maybe even now in some areas of your life. I want to read you something. This came out after 9/11. Most of you probably heard this or knew about this or maybe even read it. After 9/11, Annie Graham was on a program where she was interviewed by Jane Clayson, or whatever her name is. And the question was asked from a worldly person who's without hope. How could God let something like this happen regarding 9/11? Listen to her answers, folks. Think about this carefully. Annie Graben gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, "I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years we've been telling God, get out of our schools, get out of our government, get out of our lives. And being the gentleman He is, I believe He has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us His blessing and His protection if we demand He leave us alone? In light of recent terrorist attacks, school shootings, etc., I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was murdered and her body found recently, complained she didn't want prayer in our schools, and we said, okay. Folks, we said as Christians, okay. We were blind and foolish to the plan of the enemy there. We didn't stand up. Then someone said, oh, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and love your neighbor as yourself. And we said, okay. Then, of course, Dr. Benjamin Spock said, we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. Dr. Spock's own son committed suicide. We said an expert should know what he's talking about. And we said, okay. Now we ask ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers or their classmates and themselves. Probably if we think about it long and hard enough, we can figure it out. I think it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world's going to hell. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say, but question what the Bible says. Funny how you can send jokes through an email and they spread like wildfire. But when you start spending a message regarding the Lord, people think twice about sharing. Funny how lewd, crude, vulgar, and obscene articles pass freely through the cyberspace, but public discussion of God is suppressed in the school and the workplace. Are you laughing? I'm ashamed. And then funny how when you forward a message like this, you will not send it to many on your address list because you're not sure what they believe or what they will think of you for sending it. Funny how we can be more worried about what people think of us than what God thinks of us. I'm just going to read the last line. We need to be passing on a message. I'll paraphrase this. Messages like this. And when we get done, hopefully the message that God's placed before us this morning. If you think this has merit. If not, then just disregard it. No one will know you did. But if you discard this thought process, don't sit back and complain about what bad shape the world is in. This man from despair asked for prayer, not from faith, not from a trust in God, but a hopefulness that God would meet him, and yet he has no hope. In his mind, it's already made up because of his lineage. And yet, he stands and calls himself a Christian. Now, I'm not downing the man. I'm not against the man. I love this man. That's why my heart was burdened when he said this. How do you pray for a person like that? They've already confessed what they think is going to happen. There's no faith in that. So the only thing you can pray is, God, open the eyes of his understanding. Save him, Lord. Fill him with your knowledge, with your presence. Introduce yourself to him in a way that he can't deny, Lord. Save his soul. Even if his body perishes, Lord, don't let him go to hell. He claims to be one of yours. Lord, show him who you really are. And that's the best prayer we can pray for him. And let God deal with it from there. And in that, he's received the greatest healing he could ever get, right? We spend too much time looking at things and thinking about experiences and things that have happened in our lives, but this is the way it happened. One of the things wrong with our government and the laws today is the fact that they go by precedence. This is the way we've done it, so we're going to continue to do it. And they miss the truth or the actual, if you will, point of law in everything it is they're trying to stand for in the court system today. And it's the same with us. In many cases, we have problems and calamities in our life, and the reason we do is because we're going on our past experience and not the truth or the law. The law of life in Christ Jesus. Pretty unsettling and disconcerting to me. In John 10, verses 4 and 5, and when he, this is the words of Jesus, by the way, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Amen. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We have a voice. And we have to come to the place, we have to make up our minds, we have to make a decision today and every day. He said he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. But then he admonished us, choose life. To choose anything else, to believe anything else, to listen to any other report or go seek another report is going to lead you to destruction. But we don't consider that. As the email said, he's an expert, he should know. What about the one who designed it all? Who said, I'm here, I've come to give you a hope and a future. To prosper you and not to harm you. And we disregard it like yesterday's news. And then wonder why something's not right in our life. In John 10, 25 through 30. And Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But don't you know, my family has this history. High cholesterol, heart damage, diabetes, whatever it is. That's right. What happened to the truth in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new? What happened to that? Well, that sounded good, but it's not relevant today. If you read the translation of that from the original language, it says you're a new species or being that never before existed. Never before existed. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness and destruction and death and hell into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. Choose you this day who you'll serve. Choose you this day who you'll listen to. What's the alternative? I'm of the age. But my dad died of kidney failure.
You got a new dad.
That's right. That's right. I've told you before, and most, a lot of you know this anyway without being told. You've read it or heard it other places. When you become born again, whatever your blood type is, it doesn't change. But hematologists, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's someone who works with blood. I know Gene knows and some others. They have found that there are some characteristics in that that have changed. When a person's testimony is they've been born again, they've given their life to God. Now that doesn't mean if you've got O positive, you're now going to be O negative. That's not what I'm talking about. But some of the characteristics or the makeup in that blood have changed. How many of you are aware? I know we've talked about this. That the name Adam, if you look at the original language, means blood of God. Jesus is spoken of in the Word as the second and final Adam. The final blood of God. We've gotten a transfusion, folks, the day we accepted Him, the day we received salvation, spiritual rebirth. But it didn't end there. It did not just all fall on our laps. We have the ability to walk in the blessings of God, but we have to make a decision that we're not going to listen to any other voice that's contrary to what this voice says, the voice of God, who is what? The only way, the only truth, and the only life. Amen? Man, it's rocket science. I don't know if I can figure that out. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them, listen carefully, eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I heard yesterday on a program just in passing of a program that was going to come on, I forget what it was, Discovery or something like that. I don't even remember who was speaking. It seemed to me like it was a politician, a female politician, which has nothing to do with anything. It's just interesting. It was quoted that Robert Kennedy said, we shouldn't mistreat or we shouldn't meet the violence of violent criminals with violence, but with compassion. Folks, I've been in the prison system. Spent 12 years going there ministering. And I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to save them or change them is the truth. Right, not too many years ago, we had a lady who committed a violent crime and murdered, I don't know if it was her husband or a relative or somebody, she murdered him. And in that prison, God got a hold of her life, and there was no question of transformation. You could see by listening to her. You could tell that God's Spirit was dwelling in her. And yet she faced her imminent death with the peace and the knowledge she was going into the presence of God to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, right? Okay. We lose sight of the fact that Jesus paid the price on the cross. Isaiah 53. Y'all can probably quote it better than me. By His stripes we are healed. I don't want anybody, I can hear it already, this is not a message against doctors. It's a message about what we believe and where we go and how we get to where God wants us to be if we get there or who we listen to in the interim. Did you follow me with that or did I lose you? God uses doctors. But the first place we should run is to Him. Okay? Do you agree with that? He's the life giver. He's the beginning and the end. Amen? Hallelujah. This is an old scripture that everybody in here knows also. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And yet, it seems like we have a propensity as human beings to run headlong into this constantly, day by day. That's why it's a warfare, why it's a battle, and why we have to choose life every day. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows..." How many know with your mouth you sow things? By your actions you sow things. The thoughts that come in your mind cause you to react or do things. You're sowing at that moment. "For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh..." Sensualism, intellect. Now, I'm not saying we're all a bunch of mindless people that just wander around. That's not what I'm saying. You know better than that. But I'm saying when we give in to intellect and sensualism and our feelings and our experiences and what this thing between our ears they call a mind, which is really the devilish heart according to Jeremiah 17:9, we get into trouble. And then we wonder, "God, where are you?" Once again, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? We just read that nothing can snatch us out of His hand. Nothing can snatch us out. No one. It's not possible. Unless we give in to things other than the truth. Kind of gives you the impression that our actions and our thoughts have a lot to do with what the outcome is going to be. Where we run for help. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, in your book, at least in mine anyway, it says, "Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not." The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. It doesn't say there's safety outside of that. It says there's safety in Him. I guess if I was to put a title to this, I would say voices. What voice are you listening to? What voice are you listening to? "For he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in this day and age, just as was so aptly pointed out in this email, preachers, politicians, and so-called experts, and worldly educated men always put out, just like the devil, what sounds acceptable or right, but is spiritually deadly. It sounds right. It feels good. But they're wrong, and they're on the wrong side of God and God's law. They don't consult Him. "Well, I have an education, don't you know?" And that's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like feelings. God gave us feelings, but we don't live on feelings. We don't. Our intellect's not going to take us anywhere that we want to go. I'm not saying throughout education. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, well, with all our getting, let's get wisdom and knowledge according to the book of Proverbs. Amen? Amen. It sounds right, but it's on the wrong side of God's law and go against even the Ten Commandments. Listening to anybody, any person, without running what they say through the Word of God, including what you say and what you think, is nothing short of idolatry. Oh, you didn't like that, did you? I didn't either when God said that to me. What are you saying, Bill? I'm saying when you listen to any other voice and you put more credence in that voice than the voice of God, you are committing adultery. I have a better way. There's a better answer. As Stan would say, you need to discard that. That's earthly, sensual, and devilish knowledge. The enemy came to Jesus after the 40-day fast and even the garden. Idolatry was committed there. They didn't consider the voice of their Father. They didn't consider the voice of the Creator. They considered what was said to them and their feelings and the sight. Except for Jesus. Jesus turned it back on him because he knew the voice of his shepherd and his Father. And he knew that God didn't tempt anybody. I mean, the enemy. Folks, we've all heard a million times. The enemy doesn't come right up like was said in Stan's message last week or the week before, you know, and say, good afternoon or good morning, I'm the devil, now let's, you know. He doesn't do that. He comes with a sweet-sounding word. Why can he do this? Doesn't this say he's a deceiver and a liar and the truth is not in him? But he comes like an angel of light. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Newspapers. What an indictment against us. Against humanity. That we'd rather believe the newspapers than our Creator. If we sow to the Spirit, it says we will of the Spirit reap eternal life. So instead of listening to people and things outside and other voices, we need to be focused on. That's why our time with Him every day, in praise, in worship, in the Word, our intimacy with Him is so very important. Because the Spirit and the Word agree. And the Spirit is the Comforter who comes and confirms truth. Who is truth? What's He confirming? Let's translate and meditate. If He is the way, the truth, and the life, if He is the living Word, if He is truth, if He is salvation, if He is health, if He is prosperity, then that's what the Spirit's confirming is the truth of that knowledge. Right? You can turn there if you want to. You don't have to. In Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3. Y'all know probably where I'm going with that. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Without going any further, how many of us here, I'm not looking for a show of hands, but I'll remind you, God knows if you're not honest, have said at some point in your life, but I know better. I'm not talking about directly against the Word, but you know, when somebody comes to you and says something, and you just, I mean, you almost want to argue with that. It's almost like you feel like you're being put down or like somebody's touching your, I don't know, it's like we guard our intellect and our intelligence, or what we call our intelligence, which I question in my life greatly most of the time, because it does never line up with this. And so we defend that vehemently. And yet God's Word says, let him be true and every man a liar. What voice are we listening to, folks? What voice do we entertain? Oh, we all get in the presence of God once in a while and listen to some good stuff. But what about when we walk out the door? Do our circumstances, do what we hear in the radio and what we see in television and what we read in the newspapers, do they affect us? And if they do, what happens to the word that says if your eye offends you, pluck it out? You take that for whatever you want to take it for, whatever the Spirit says to you that means. But it could just mean cut off what's causing your problem in your life. Listening to another voice causes confusion. How many times have we heard what the Spirit says to the churches when, you know, let them that have ears hear. Let them that have ears hear. What? What the Spirit says to the church or churches. What are you? What are we right here? That's right. So what are we supposed to be listening to? What are we supposed to be running to? What's supposed to be the foremost picture and focus of our mind and our heart? One that's surrendered to God, by the way. I'm not talking about what Jeremiah 17:9 is talking about. I'm talking about a heart that's under control of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit's in the life. And the life is lived because of the Holy Spirit's control and lining up the Word. You put the knife to the throat of your appetite for knowledge and things like that. And again, I'm not against knowledge. I'm against when knowledge becomes more important and more real to you than God and His Word. Are you with me? Listening to anything, anyone who says or believes anything outside of God's Word is at the very least dangerous. Can you agree on that? 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Hebrews 3. Seven through 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Perfect example, folks. Perfect example. God was performing miracle after miracle after miracle. But every time another voice cried out, they ran with that voice. They ran to idolatry. They ran to things that were against God rather than standing up as the two spies who said, we are well able to go up and take the country. But listen to the others. Even though God was causing their shoes not to wear out, even though God was causing manna to come down and feed them day after day, even though they saw the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day that protected them, even though that they had provision, quails till it came out their nostrils because of their selfishness, they never saw past what was in front of them to see that it was their Father who was providing for them. Dangerous. We listen to anything else or look at anything else other than the truth, which is God and His Word. Right? Flesh is always drawn to an easy way. The carnal mind will always go for its own comfort. But the Spirit, reborn, will always go after God, His presence, and His truth. Not intellectual truth, His truth. Amen? We quote often Jeremiah 17:9. I want to read you both verses this morning. Jeremiah 17:9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. One of the men here this morning was having a conversation with me. And we talked about this very thing. How the battle's raging on. There's something good, something wonderful in front of us. The problem is, there's a dilemma with that because there's an attachment. Do I follow what's good and pleasant and pleasing to my eyes and what makes me feel good sensually, physically? Or do I follow what brings eternal life? How many know the Scripture that says, I'll not fear what man will do unto me. Man, I'll not fear the one who can kill me, but I'll fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. Whose voice are you listening to today? What voice are you following today? And that's a question for everybody in this room. It's not directed at anyone. It's for all of us. Search your hearts. Work out your own salvation. Examine your heart. See where you are today. Mark 13:34 through 37. I'll start in verse 33. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at the midnight, at the crowing of the rooster in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. I remember a little Sunday school ditty that used to be sung to the children. We used to teach them years ago in my young walk with the Lord. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Good advice even for adults, huh? Two more and we'll close. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and be vigilant. What is it we don't understand about this? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in verse 9, I'll just read this. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He's out there. Man, we've heard this more lately than we've probably heard it in time past. He's out there He has a plan. He's faithful. But we serve one who's more faithful and the one who has everything in His hands. But like the email said, He's a gentleman. He'll back off when we don't want to hear what He has to say. Who suffers? Just not too many weeks ago, one or two weeks ago, we heard Connie say, folks, what we do, we don't have a right to be selfish and follow our own thing in our life. Because what we do and what we say and how we react affects generations past you. Man, I'm telling you, that hit me so strong. Maybe we all ought to be considering what our epitaph is going to be. He followed His feelings. He followed His comfort. Or He followed God. He believed the Word. And He didn't waver. Or she. Either one. What do you want on your epitaph today? What legacy do you want to leave behind you? Good question. Good question. Consider your ways, the Scripture says. The Word says. The living Word. Peter 5:8, once again, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking to devour. And then the next verse, it says, resist him. What does the Scripture say? I believe it's in John. It says, resist the devil and he will flee. That doesn't mean just turn around and walk away. That means he gets in the wind, puts his tail between his legs, and he runs in stark terror. Feet, don't fail me now. Matthew 10, 32 through 39. Matthew 10, 32 through 39. Are you getting anything out of this? Yeah. Is this helping?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a little different slant, maybe. Coming in from another way. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. What are you confessing today? What are we confessing today? Are we really believing and confessing? This is my Bible. It is the written Word of God. I have what it says I have. I am what it says I am. I'm the prosperous, the redeemed, the healed, the sanctified, the justified, the one who walks in health, prosperity, the one who walks in power and might and dominion. Or, and do we confess? I like the way Jonathan puts it. I will do. Not just I can do. I will do what He says I can and will do. I believe the Scripture says when you do that, you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. Why? Because you've come in line with the plan, His plan. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. 34. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, before you all start looking at me like a calf at a new gate, let me explain something to you. And I want to bring something up here too that I want you to think about. Folks, one of the things in war that's so devastating is when men go over and see things in a situation like that, their friends, their neighbors, their acquaintances, the people of their unit, whether they're close to them or not, and see them attacked and hurt or destroyed physically. It has an effect on them. So outside circumstances most definitely have an effect. But what does the Word say? If you're His, the greater one dwells within you. Charles is struggling. Rob is struggling. Jason struggles. We need to be praying for them, folks. We need to be the ones who hold up their arms. And yet you know as well as I do, there are some who say, glad it's them and not me. Well, come on, don't get mad at me. You know it's the truth. I'm not saying that about anybody here. But there are those out there who say that. They're disinterested. They can't be bothered. And yet now is when they need our support more than they've ever needed it in their lives. We've heard the cry from our own pastor about his own family saying, please pray for Rob and Desiree. I've heard the reports come from Joanna. He's struggling, Dad. He's in an ungodly situation. It doesn't mean God's not behind it, but where he is and the place he's at is in an ungodly place. It doesn't mean he still can't do righteously. It doesn't mean he's not God's. It doesn't mean God's protection's not there. It's only by his protection that he stands. Folks, let me tell you what's going on. We think we got it bad here, and we think we got all these situations because we're in our own little world. Over there, a woman who was called to active duty, who went to fight. 4 months out of 12 months. Just 4 months. Can't even stay faithful to her own husband, and now she's pregnant with another man's child. Because there's nothing to do there. It's a stinking rat hole of a little island. The most fun thing you can do is swim there, and there's nothing for these men to do. There's no good services because most of the chaplains, like in the prison system of the United States, are people who are taught sociology, psychology, and don't know God if they stumbled over Him. Folks, we need to be praying for these guys. On the front of that email, if I look at it, it was sent to me by Charles. You can look and see a list, a wonderful list, of men and women who are soldiers, who are believers. So they're not alone. But more than that, more important than that, they're not alone because God's within them. He dwells within them, right? I think maybe that's what God had in mind when He says, take up your cross and follow Me. Take on some responsibility. Follow the call. Follow My lead. We have a responsibility, folks, not only for those around us, but those of our very body, the body of God, the church of God, to hold them up. And folks, there's just as much of a war going on here. The difference is we have a church to come to. We have the family right here that can help us, that can gird us up. But we have a responsibility to those who are out there doing a righteous work. And we know that this war is a righteous war. Because it's a war not against the United States. It's a war against God, righteousness, holiness, and justice. Amen. Joanna, finally, bless her heart, had the courage to stand up and say, Mom, I can't deal with you anymore. I'm not going to have this anymore. I'm uncomfortable around you. I've seen things as a child that I don't like. They sicken me. She's not attacking her mother. She's attacking the lifestyle, which is the devil's lifestyle. And the dilemma and the war inside is, am I making the right decision by cutting this off? Yes! And Mama writes back, just like the enemy's faith would come and bring condemnation, says, I don't understand. No, you don't. Bless your darling heart, mixed up mind, because you are selfish. You can only see what's right for you. And you don't care about your own flesh and blood. God said, I came to bring division between a father and mother. I didn't come to bring peace. Why did He say that? Because He knew there was a choice. Choose me or choose what's out there. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And Joanna's made the right choice. And the peace is coming because she's made the right choice. I didn't put her up to this. She doesn't want her daughter involved in this kind of a lifestyle. Most of you know what I'm talking about, know the situation. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Is He at the highest place in our life? I need to ask myself, and I ask myself that question every day. Is there anything that's keeping Him from being in the highest place in my life? And that means if it came down to it, would I choose my family or choose my surroundings or my comfort over Him? I'm not going there, folks, except in my life. You work out your salvation. You work out your salvation. He who loves father or... Well, let me go back to verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a mother-in-law against a daughter-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. One of the greatest struggles I ever had in my life. And it wasn't a great message that was preached. Some of you knew me then. Some of you were here while this was still a struggle in my life in the early days of this church. You may not have known it, but it was there. There was a time in my life when I thought, what do I do if something happens to my dad? What do I do if something happens to my mom? What do I do? Because I was taught strong family ties, taught strong family values. But it was distorted because it was the world's idea, ungodly people's idea of what faithfulness was and who you needed to be faithful to. How many of you know that God restores what the cankerworm and the locust or the enemy has stolen? And how many know that your final outcome is greater in Him, through Him, than your former days? Amen? When we have these feelings, it shows where we're really at. We need to take heed. But through just the slightest thing, I heard a voice saying, I place you at the highest place. It wasn't a sermon. It was those little words. Little words. Oh no. Big words. Changed my life. Finally brought me to the place where I said, God, I trust You above all. And if You're the only one that I have left, You're the one that I'm going to go with. Because anything other than that, my feelings, my thoughts were earthly. They were sensual and they were devilish. I'm not saying hate your family. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if your family wants to go another way than what God says, don't go. There's destruction at the end of that. And separation from God. Choose you this day who you will serve. He set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. That's hard. And don't think I'm standing back just saying, okay, come on, let's go, get on the program. No. This is called working out your salvation. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
But that's a scary picture to me, that I have any other lover except Him. See, it's only when He is the lover of my life, the love of my life, that I can begin to love and have the relationship with you all or with an individual when God brings the right lady to my life, that I can have the right relationship with her and a relationship that is good based on the way God intended it, not based on my feelings or what I think the relationship should be. Don't you know? Are you with me? Y'all still love me?
Oh, yeah.
He He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. It's in red, folks. It's the words of Jesus. I didn't write this. You don't answer to me. You answer to Him. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every day we have a decision. Every day there's the opportunity for a battle. The only thing you have to think about is which side you're going to take in the middle of that battle to come out on top. And then you have to decide, if you choose the wrong side and calamity comes, whose fault that is. Five virgins missed out because they weren't on the same page. They had their own feelings. They had their own agenda. And five virgins went in with their king and entered in to the chamber, to the Holy of Holies, because they were ready and they took it serious. And they weren't distracted by life and the things of life and their surroundings and other things. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us to examine ourselves every day. He wants us to look at what He says and make a decision if we're going to follow that or follow something or someone else or another voice. And I leave you with this statement. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and no other. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not wrong to ask for prayer when you're in need. But sometimes we ask for prayer and we ask for prayer in a specific area when that's really not what the problem is. How many know what I'm talking about? It's like my friend Hal. What he's really crying out for is, let this cup pass from me if there's any way. And there is a way. But he's got to know, not know about, the one who made the way, who paid for that. Amen?
Yep.
Hallelujah. Gives me a little more insight, this message does, on how to pray for people.
Amen.
You know? It's not wrong to be quick to pray for somebody's healing, but are we just praying for physical healing? Or are we praying for what they really need? I don't know how many of you remember the old song about a guy who was talking and says, I asked for, and I asked for, and I asked for. That's what I wanted. But what I got was this and this and this, what I really needed. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Stand with me. If you need prayer this morning, whatever your circumstances are, God knows. God has an answer. It's not based on psychology. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on education. It's based on the truth. God is the answer. Amen?
Amen.
Don't leave today without having your needs met. What's the choice? My God shall supply all of my need. He didn't say wants, he said needs. According to his riches in glory. By who? Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. We're on the winning team, folks. We're on the winning side.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Is there anything we need to pray about? Father, right now, once again, we lift up Stan and Connie. Bless them, Lord. Bless their time together, Lord. Refresh them. Cause yourself to be revealed to them as they seek for you, Lord. And as they spend time in your presence, Lord, with one another. Bring them back to us safely, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to go with each and every one. I pray, Lord, that your word would be sealed in the hearts of every person here. Not opinions, not my words, not my opinions, but your word, your opinion, Lord. We want to see what you see. We want to know what you know. We want to have your heart revealed to us. We want to walk in that, Lord, because we want to please you. More than anything else, Lord, we want to please you.
Yes.
Nothing else do I desire or ask for, Lord, is that every step I take would be pleasing to you and do whatever you need to do in my life and the lives of these people to make that so. Change our desires. Change our thoughts. Whatever is necessary, Lord, do it for your honor and glory. And we'll give you praise, and we do give you praise and thanksgiving forever. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everyone who agrees
Amen.
Says amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.